everyone, and welcome to the Barbell Mamas podcast. My name is Christina Previtt. I'm a pelvic floor physical therapist, researcher in exercise and pregnancy, and a mom of two who has competed in CrossFit, powerlifting, or weightlifting, pregnant, postpartum, or both. In this podcast, we want to talk about the realities of being a mom who loves to exercise. Whether you're a recreational exerciser or an athlete, we want to talk about all of the things that we go through as females going into this motherhood journey. We're going to talk about fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum topics that are relevant to the active individual. While I am a pelvic floor physical therapist, I am not your pelvic floor physical therapist, and know that this podcast does not substitute medical advice. All right, come along for this journey with us while we navigate motherhood together, and I can't wait to get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Barbell Mamas podcast. Christina Previtt here, and today I am doing this podcast episode from our living room, which is not my usual spot within the house. I'm not on the road right now, but we are dealing with a household full of gastro. So last weekend, my kiddo, my daughter, my oldest, she's almost five, she was vomiting, throwing up, and I was away, which is like, there's so much mom guilt when you're on the road and your kiddos are sick. And my husband wasn't feeling very great, who you've all, if you've been with the Barbell Mamas, you've interacted with Nick on online or on our app. And then this week he got it again. So my husband has the worst luck when it comes to anything related to his stomach. Like, we used to have an ongoing joke that my husband would get food poisoning. Nick would get food poisoning every 6 months. Like, it was on a clock. But he's had gastro twice. And now my son is vomiting. And it is like a special rite of passage as a parent to be driving. I was driving, we had friends over. And I was driving back from my in-laws' place. They live about 45 minutes away. And he looked at me and he goes, "Mommy," and like vomit starts going down his face. And you feel so bad. He's looking at you like, "I don't know what's happening to me." He's our youngest. This is the first time actually that he's ever been sick with the flu. And so we are in kind of that survival mode. But I wanted to come on here and talk a little bit about being sick and the pelvic floor. If you have had pelvic floor symptoms and then you're managing pretty well, and then all of a sudden you get sick and you see that you have an uptick in your symptoms, know that you are not alone, right? Know that you are not alone. When you are doing or being sick and you are coughing and you are sneezing, or hopefully not, but if you are vomiting, like, those are all things that increase pressure in our belly, similar to a heavy lift. And if we are doing that over and over and over again, we may really tire out the pelvic floor, and that may have caused you to have an increase in your symptoms. So today's episode, what I really want to talk about is a little bit about why we may experience some of those symptoms and what are a couple of things that we can do to try and make it better when that happens. When we are thinking about being sick in the first place, know that there's like this trifecta that happens when you are not feeling well, right? When you are not feeling well, your recovery is poor. Your body is tired and fatigued. All of your energy is being placed into trying to kick whatever it is that is actively attacking your immune system, right? When I talk to clients in the clinic, and this isn't just actually about pelvic floor stuff, it's about everything. I always say that, you know, there's this chance that, you know, when you have that achiness when you are sick, it can kind of flare up anything in your body that may be a weak point for you. Like, if you're recovering from a back injury, this is an example. I had back pain like a long time ago and managed it on and off. And as I was kind of recovering from that injury, whenever I would get sick, I would have to remind myself that this would happen, where my back would feel a bit more cranky. And I didn't have to freak out about it. It was just that, you know, it was an area of weakness in my body relative to other areas. And when I had that like really feeling crummy feeling, like that achiness in my body, I would definitely feel it more in the areas where I had had an injury. And this may be the same for you, right? If you are a person who is dealing with pelvic floor issues right now, you may feel that in your pelvic floor if you have that achiness and chills or that just like that overall fatigue that you can feel when you are really tired. And some of that is a sign of just poor recovery. And when you are sick, you have a rise in like inflammation as your body is trying to figure stuff out. And so that may cause some of that increase in symptoms. That's number one. Number two is that being sick, like the act of being sick, puts extra pressure on your system, right? If you are thinking that you are spending all day coughing, sneezing, vomiting, or maybe some combination of all three, your pelvic floor is working really hard to make sure that you aren't peeing or pooping when you don't want to be peeing or pooping. And you can think about it like a really big workout for our pelvic floor system. When we look at like risk factors for pelvic floor issues in later life, one of the ones that comes up is a person who has a condition that has a chronic cough. And that tracks, right? Like that makes so much sense. If you are always having to withstand like these big belly coughs, you have a lot that your body has to withstand. And you can feel sometimes that increase in pressure around your pelvis, or you can end up peeing when you've been coughing for a little while. And this can really build in symptoms depending on how long you're sick for, right? If you are sick for a day and you kind of have that 24-hour bug, maybe you're okay. But if you get a really bad case of COVID and you're coughing and sneezing for a week or more, you may have an increase in those symptoms at day three, right? Finally, your body's like, oh man, I'm really having a tough time right now. And I have been doing a lot of work. Pelvic floor is talking to us. And that's why we're having that increase in symptoms. Okay. So if this is you, or if this is something that has happened to you, the next thing we want to do is talk about what we are going to do about it. The first thing that I want you to do is to absolutely not freak out. Okay, so I do not want you to freak out if you are experiencing an increase in symptoms, right? I've done so many podcast episodes that you are not ruining anything, that if you are experiencing a new symptom that you have not had before, that your cold did not make you ruin anything. If you are experiencing heaviness and you had not experienced that heaviness before, know that you did not ruin anything. Do not freak out. And we like even that heaviness symptoms, like we don't have any research that says that there is a one instantaneous cough that causes you to have things like a prolapse outside of, you know, a person who may have a birth injury where they kind of have this big event. So do not freak out, right? We know why you may be experiencing an increase in symptoms. We know that this is a temporary change within your body, and we are going to just take a couple deep breaths and hopefully, you know, kind of calm your mind down. And hopefully this episode is going to also help you feel like, okay, I know I have these symptoms. I'm going to acknowledge that these symptoms are higher than they usually are. I'm not going to freak out. The second thing is we're going to think about what we are doing when we are coughing, sneezing, a little bit vomiting. I'm going to put an asterisk sign there and we'll talk about that in a second. So one of the things that I see people do is that they try and contract their pelvic floor when they are coughing, sneezing, or vomiting. And that's not bad, but we are doing that contraction at the wrong time. So when we are coordinating our pelvic floor with a cough or a sneeze, you are doing a maneuver that is called the knack. Our pelvic floor is an anticipatory system. What I mean by that is that our pelvic floor contracts before we cough or sneeze so that our holes are closed in anticipation of the buildup of pressure in our belly when we are trying to cough or sneeze, right? So that buildup in pressure is really important actually when we are coughing or sneezing, because our body, our immune system is using that pressure to expel something that is a foreign substance or illness that is making us sick, right? Like we are coughing, when we are coughing, we are trying to get stuff out of our lungs. When we are sneezing, we are trying to get all of that disgusting grossness that is oozing out of our nose, out of our body to try and clear that sickness from our system. So we use that increase in pressure in our bellies to help expel these things. But we want them to be expelled out of our mouth or out of our nose, and not, we don't want to be expelling urine out of our pelvic or out of our pelvic floor or our urethra. And so when you are doing the NAC, you want to do that before. In clinic, what this looks like, if I have somebody coming in with stress incontinence, so incontinence when that pressure builds up in our bellies, we can oftentimes practice this neck. And so what that means is that I am getting a person to practice squeezing their pelvic floor and then coughing or sneezing, right? You're contracting that pelvic floor on the wind up for that sneeze or cough. And so if you are feeling more movement or you are feeling like you could pee, a lot of people will try and squeeze their legs and make sure that they try and create some pressure to close their holes. But what we can do is we can try and contract our pelvic floor before, in that windup of our cough and sneeze. So one way that we can try and help when we're coughing or sneezing is to close the holes by being conscious of what we are doing when we are coughing or sneezing. The second thing that we can do is we can think about our position when we are coughing or sneezing. What we see is that if you are in a neutral position, so your bum isn't tucked under or your back isn't arched and it's kind of in the middle, we talk about it like a neutral pelvic position. Sometimes that can make us feel stronger. That does not mean that a back arch is bad or being, you know, I'm literally reclined on a sofa right now talking to you all for this episode, that it's bad. But when your pelvic floor is tired, we want to put it in its strongest position. So when you are in neutral, where your rib cage is over your pelvic bones and you are not tucked under or arched and you're kind of in the middle, that can be where your pelvic floor feels strongest. So the story, when I was pregnant with my son, if I was full bladder and I was kind of reclined on my couch in a posterior pelvic tilt and I felt a sneeze coming, I knew I was going to pee. And I didn't feel like I had anything wrong with my pelvic floor. I just knew that those positions plus being pregnant just made my pressure system worse. And it was a little bit haywire. And so if I felt that coming, my husband would joke and laugh at me because Nick would see me like sit up really quickly if I was sneezing in that environment, because I knew that the chance of me having incontinence was significantly reduced if I came into this neutral position. So if you're experiencing that leaking with coughing or sneezing, if you are sick, the first thing is that, you know, our pelvic floor is an anticipatory system, so we want it to contract. The second is I'm going to put myself into my best positioning. Now, if you are feeling absolutely like crud and you are just trying to exist and not die on the couch, I am with you. And just know that might be a reason why you're experiencing that. And I get it. Like if you're having a hard time moving into neutral. The third thing that I'm going to give you advice around when you are actively sick is to not hold in your coughs or sneezes. This one might be tough because there's like a social piece to it around, you know, nobody wants to be sprayed with their sneeze. But again, I'm going to go story time and talk to you about my dad. So My dad, when he sneezes, and gosh, he's been doing this forever, and I'm a pelvic floor physical therapist, and so of course I tell him not to, but I'm also his daughter, which means he doesn't listen. He will, when he sneezes, he will like close his nose, if you guys can imagine me closing my nose, and like hold his sneeze in, essentially. And that skyrockets your pressure, right? If we want to compare this to how we are lifting and bracing, holding in your sneeze, you know, kind of like putting either your arm against your nose or like kind of trying to hold it in, it will increase your pressure like you are doing a max breath hold for a one rep max versus blowing or exhaling as you are lifting on exertion. That's the comparison. And so when you are doing a sneeze, you want to think that you want that like you want that exhale to happen and, you know, have something in front of you or have a Kleenex or whatever. But what that does is like by not holding that squeeze in, by actually letting yourself sneeze or be focusing on that exhale as you are coughing or sneezing, it brings your pressure down a lot. It brings your pressure down a lot, and it can bring that pressure down enough that your pelvic floor feels strong enough to be able to withstand that cough or sneeze without peeing. And so the three things, like if you are actively sick and you are peeing with coughing or sneezing, that's the neck, your posture, and how you are coughing or sneezing. Which is so funny to think about that we're kind of geeking out about the way that you are sick. But it's just something that, you know, we've seen can be really, really helpful. And we can counsel on that if you're experiencing some of those symptoms. Where I put the asterisk sign was around vomiting. So I'm going to be so truthful. And I have had conversations with my colleagues about this. When you are vomiting, it is really hard to figure out a strategy in that moment to stop yourself from peeing. And it is because, you know, coughing or sneezing, yes, for sure, puts a big expelling force on you. But the force of your belly contraction when you are retching is just so much higher. And the force of it is intense, and your body is kind of in this survival mode where it does not want you to have whatever is in your belly, right? Like it's like trying to get poison out of you. And so it is a violent reaction that happens. I hate throwing up. It is the worst. And this can be for, you know, sickness. If you have gastrobugs, like what's going through my family, or it can be, you know, if you're in your first trimester, and you're throwing up constantly, or you have a condition in pregnancy called hyperemesis gravidarum, where it can be like you're the entire pregnancy, like you have the flu. And for many women with hyperemesis, it can be miserable. But one of the miserable consequences can be not only do you feel like trash and you're having a hard time eating or drinking, and a lot of times you're in and out of hospital with needing to rehydrate, but it's also really tough on your pelvic floor because throwing up is tough on the pelvic floor. And so, you know, talking about those strategies, if you are peeing when you are vomiting, one, I just want to acknowledge that that is a special type of torture. And I've been there where I'm throwing up and I cannot stop myself from peeing. And I think this is awful. Like there is no respect in this. I do not feel good. I do not feel sexy right in this moment. It is rough by this toilet bowl where you're deciding if you are peeing in the toilet or you are vomiting in a bowl or you are getting to the toilet and retching into like it's awful. Just know that there when you're having that type of violent reaction, you can try those strategies around allowing yourself to have that pre-contraction as you're retching, or try and put your positions into kind of this neutral position of your pelvis where your ribs are over your rib cage. But know that I haven't figured out a really good way to teach people how to not throw up and pee at the same time. And it's one of those conditions where, oh, I don't even want to say this, but you kind of ride the wave of it, you know, like you just, it's just some, one of those things that I don't know if anyone else has a different strategy who is listening to this, other than the ones that I talked about that have definitely more limited success, are definitely easier to reduce incontinence with coughing or sneezing than vomiting. Let me know, because I would love to have something that has more success other than maybe a mild reduction in incontinence with the NAC and your positioning, and then also just not freaking out, which is why where my go-to for counseling is. Okay, so finally, what do we do when we're on the other side of it, right? So we have these four strategies that we can focus on in the moment when we are experiencing incontinence. But then what do we do, or how do we return to exercise and movement when we have a flare-up or a exacerbation of symptoms? So the first thing that we want to think about is our recovery, right? It takes a couple of days after you're done being sick to get back into the gym, get back feeling good with like energy going into the gym. And I want you to think about it like you just did a really big competition or a really big meet, and your body needs time to recover. If I am working with an athlete and they just did a powerlifting or weightlifting meet, I am going to put them on a deload week coming out of that, because whether it's because of their pelvic floor for their performance, or because I'm having them rehab injuries around their competitions, we want that downtime to gradually build them back up to what their exercise volume was per after a competition. I may do the same thing for you who is recovering from an illness that was tough on the pelvic floor. Take time to get back and know that because your pelvic floor was really tired because you were sick and your recovery sucked because you weren't feeling good, that that might transfer into the gym. That might transfer into how you feel the first time you're coming back. And again, like this is not negative progress. You are not sliding back. It is just that you had a really tiring event with being sick on your pelvic floor, and it's going to take some recovery time to get you back to baseline, right? You did not ruin anything. You did not, you know, reverse all of the progress that you had made. You just had a blip or a setback from being sick that you need to take into account as you're going back to exercise. The second thing is that you want to focus on recovery as much as you can, right? So when you are recovering, like I'm talking to a bunch of moms here, like I get that there's so many things about recovery that are not in our control. And so that's why I say as much as you can. If you are a mom who is sick with a whole sick household, like last night, I got 4 hours of sleep because my son was up vomiting, and I'm not vomiting myself. So, but I still feel like that fatigue and that tiredness. So recover as much as you can, and then gradually return to exercise. So when I'm talking about recovery, I'm talking about hydration, right? A lot of times when we get sick, we are not drinking as much. If we have a fever, we can get dehydrated. If we're vomiting, we can get dehydrated. So rehydrating our body, trying to get as much sleep as we can. Again, if your whole family is sick and you are sick, your recovery may be at the mercy of that sickness. But as you come out of it, if you have, you know, supports, family supports that can help you out so that you can sleep a little bit more, get some recovery, and then fueling, making sure that you're trying to get calories in and make sure that your body is recovering from that illness. Hopefully you're getting good quality foods in, but you know, I always focus on calories first. And if I have to just acknowledge that calories are going to be empty, but they're getting calories into my system, I'm going to go there first. Focus on that recovery and then take that into account when we're going back into the gym. Know that after being sick, your pelvis may feel tired, and that can be upsetting because you're thinking, well, I haven't even done exercise for 3 days, 4 days because I've been sick. But trust me, your pelvic floor has been exercising. Your pelvic floor has been exercising, and it is okay that it feels different or fatigued, or your threshold before you feel symptoms of heaviness or leaking is lower. It will get better. You will get back to baseline, and it's just going to take some time, and being sick sucks. That is kind of where I go with a lot of my conversations with my athletes, with my clients in the clinic, around pelvic floor stuff and being sick. And that is definitely where I'm going today with a house full of gastro. And I'm going to be leaning on that. If I'm really hoping that I don't go down with them all, but if I do, I'm going to be leaning on all these symptoms as well, because I know that vomiting for me can definitely increase. I don't have a lot of pelvic floor symptoms now, but they can show up and rear their ugly head when I am throwing up. So if that's going to be me, I really hope that's not true. But if it is you, and you have a household full of it, or you are experiencing this yourself, I hope you found this helpful. All right. I will talk to you guys next week. Hopefully we are going to be in a much healthier spot. Nick and I are actually getting ready for a trip to Europe. We are going to be in Italy, and all I kept thinking was, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful that we are not throwing up on our way on an 8-hour trip to Europe. We've never been there before. So if you guys are listening and you have any like really great things to do in Italy, we're going to be in Rome for 5 days, and then we're going to be in the Amalfi Coast. So we're going to go South Italy. It is going to be our first like extended vacation in a really long time. I am really excited about that. My kids are not coming with us. It is just my husband and I romancing it up in one of the most beautiful romantic cities in the entire world. I am excited. Let me know if you have any recommendations. Otherwise, I hope you all have a wonderful week, and we will see you all next time.